Dr. Death, written in the codes of the computer. It's crazy. How many of us have ever had a computer? You know, you go back 20 years, remember getting our first laptop or computer, and then next thing you know, and today this happens quicker than ever, and I don't think it's because of viruses. You know, as we get new phones, it seems like by the second year, it's like almost dead because they need you to buy another one, right, or get another one. But in the old days, when computers first came out, there was these things called viruses. There was things, they're called worms, of all things. My computer's hacked. How do our computers, laptops, phones get hacked? You know, you could open up an email. Looks like an email. You won $5 million. Yes, let me click on this one. And bam, you have now been hacked. There are people, here's a bill. Here's the gas company, electric company. Open it up because, oh, maybe I need to pay a bill. Boom, you can just get hacked. Crazy. How do we know when our computers, our phones get hacked? Well, it starts running slow. It loses memory. Files disappear. New files appear. Malicious software that people have designed. It's like these things here. And again, I don't know if any of us can read these things, but there's a virus within these numbers here. Viruses, malware, these things that attach to programs, they self-replicate. They spread to other devices. They modify other programs that we have by inserting the code into them. They disrupt, viruses disrupt systems, causing operational issues, resulting in data loss and leakage. Types of computer viruses: boot sector virus, web scripting virus, browser hijacker, resident virus, direct action virus, polymorphic virus, file infector virus, multi-pyrite virus. Crazy! How simple and how many experts out there, and I have no idea, computers and codes and viruses. But there are people. You know, 67% of the world use the internet today. And you know that most, since 2007, most of our information, it's like 90% of the information we have in our world is stored, guess where? Digitally. 67% of the world today use the internet. But since 2007, most of the information that we have today is stored digitally. 90% of our world population has cell phones. Some people have multiple cell phones. So many people have broken cell phones. 45% of the people have a personal computer at home. You know, 1971, one of the first viruses out there was one that called a creeper. The creeper virus. One of the ones that have done the largest damage in the world is one that was called My Doom. Cost $50 billion. $50 billion. Started 20 years ago. Virus that caused so much damage. There was a virus, I love you, without spaces, I love you. Someone put an I love you virus into the computer system, which infected 10 million computers. How much of our life is spent digitally now? I know for me, my job selling food every day. Selling food to customers, we place orders online, we have to use our computer, we answer phone calls, all of that stuff. How much of our lives spent on computers? And what happens? What happens if the computer system world fails? What happens if the computer world fails and everything goes down? What if we get hacked? My question to you this morning is, I bring up this and I show these codes and I show these different things to say, spiritually today in 2024, I think many of us have been spiritually hacked with a deadly virus. And in 2024, just as our computer systems have been hacked in the past, just as many viruses are still alive and effective out there, damaging people's Instagram accounts, Facebook accounts, so many things that people sneakily use to steal our information. Is there real thieves out there trying to get to you? I think there's a subtle thief that's planted a virus long ago that's caused a virus in our world. And spiritually, this morning, some of us have been hijacked. With that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, and we're going to start in verse 21 this morning. It says, Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times. No, not seven times, Jesus replied. 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Verse 25, he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, children, everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before the master and begged him, please be patient with me. I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity and he released him and he forgave the debt of millions and millions and millions of dollars. Oh my gosh. Verse 28. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000s. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and he begged, please, just a little more time. Be patient with me. I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. The king called in the man he had forgiven. You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Verse 33, shouldn't you maybe have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I has had on you? Verse 34, the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Well, this morning as I start, I have some good news. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is some good news. See, Peter asked a question that we're all wondering. Good old Petey. Turn to him and said, thank God for Petey, man. Thank God for Petey. And you know what the question he had for Jesus? He said, listen, Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody? How many times? And in his head, he's trying to be the most generous guy there is. He goes, Jesus, seven times? Is that enough to forgive someone? And Jesus replies, Peter, Peter. No, it's 70 times seven. The good news is we only have to forgive someone 490 times. Only 490 times. So this morning, take a deep breath and say, 491? You're out, buddy. 491, 92? That's it. I'm cutting you out, right? Good news. But you know what? Unfortunately, the picture Jesus painted wasn't 490. It was unlimited. Unlimited times that we have to continue to forgive people every single day. And so Jesus paints this picture because he was asked a question. So in being asked the question, he decides to paint the picture. And he says there's a man who gets brought before the boss who owed him millions and millions and millions of dollars. He couldn't pay it back. And so the boss says, you know what? I'll sell you, your wife, your kids, and the dogs to get my money back. And this man in this instant, he's freaked out of his mind. My wife, my kids, my dog, no, please. And he begs. And the word picture here that Jesus is painting is the debt of sin that not one person on this planet can pay. There's not one of us that can pay the debt of our sin. This man said he owed his boss, the jefe, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And so the picture that Jesus painted here is no one on the planet can repay this debt of sin. And if we were to stop for a second, if we were to just get a glimpse of hell, to understand that one day, see, unfortunately and tragically, none of us know the day we're going to pass from this life to next. We don't know when we're going to go. We don't know when our family is going to go. We don't know when our friends are going to die. We have no idea. We do not. It could be an accident. It could be a sickness. It could be so many different things. But none of us in here know this morning when we're going to pass. But when we pass, be sure of this, the next life will be before you. And when you stand between here and there, there's going to be just heaven and hell. And if this morning, if you could take a step back to say, God, maybe a little glimpse of hell is what I need today. Maybe a little glimpse of hell is what I need so that my heart never, ever turns away from you. Remember the thought, we have computer programs, viruses, malware, worms that are infecting our computer systems. But spiritually, as we go through these things, understand that there is a deeper, darker virus that has affected many people in our world today. Spiritually, that have a virus that they have not been able to deal with, that they have not been able to correct, that they've been looking, that they've been searching, that they still cannot make it through. Jesus painting this picture, you do not understand how gross, how disgusting, how horrible it will be for the person who has to live in eternity in hell. It's not a beautiful place. I know in high school, many of us, my friends and I, used to say, we're going to have some fun together in hell. Woo-wee! We're going to tear it up. But you ain't going to have any friends. You're going to be all alone. You're going to be by yourself. It's going to be hot. It's going to be stinky. It's going to smell like dirty feet everywhere you go. Imagine being able to be stuck in the worst place imaginable. Not being able to do anything at all. Tortured every moment of your life forever. Hell is not a beautiful or pretty place. It's not. Jesus painting the picture. The debt of sin is so big and it's so massive. Not one human could ever pay it back. And to those who see and understand, God, I can't pay this back, but I pray that you have mercy. The guy in this story, he understands, I borrowed millions, but I can't pay it back. Please don't torture me. Please don't torture my wife and kids. He pleads for mercy. He begs. Because when our hearts seems to be only understanding in desperate situations is when we turn to pleading, God, forgive me. God, help me. It's usually in desperation and hard times where people really cry out to God. And look, and this is where this man was. He was in a moment of desperation. God, help me. Because I don't want to lose my wife. I don't want to lose my kids. And I don't want to be tortured for eternity. So he begs for mercy. And can you imagine for a second owing someone $5 million and that's all you have? Can you imagine owing somebody and they're telling you you're going to go to prison for the rest of your life if you can't pay it back? The weight of that debt. Some of us in here this morning with credit card debt, we still feel the weight of debt with the little amount that we have. Understanding bills that need to get paid. The weight of some of us, we carry so many different things. But for this man, it was the weight of money and debt that he owed. And his boss says, I forgive you of all debts. Can you imagine being able to take a deep breath and go, I'm free. You probably hear the choir of heaven singing and dancing. Because you're free now from all this debt. But interestingly enough, now the story takes a twist. And the man, one second, who was forgiven such a great debt, sees someone who owes him a few thousand dollars compared to the millions before. Says he grabs him by the throat. That doesn't sound like a very nice guy. Where's my $3,000? I can't pay you. I can't. Please, forgive me. Help me. Give me a little more time. The man says, no, you're done. And he throws him in prison. No matter how many great seconds that he felt in a moment before, no matter how much he pleaded for help and mercy, and he was forgiven of a great debt, he could not replicate and do the same thing just 2 minutes later. He was not able to replicate the love and forgiveness and mercy just 2 minutes later. What did he have in his own heart that he could not replicate, that he couldn't duplicate, that he could not do the very same thing? Because the man had a virus, just as many of us this morning have the exact same virus. You know, many people today live like there's no God. Have you ever wondered, why do they want to live like there's no God? Because truthfully, I think everyone in humanity understands that there's greater being, that there's a higher power, there's more to this life. There's absolutely more to this life. But nobody wants to be accountable in the understanding, if I admit there's a God, if I admit there's one God, one Bible, one book, now what happens? Now I'm accountable for my wrongful sins and actions. And so instead of admitting God is real, let's just deny he's fake. Let's just say we're atheists and we don't believe in anything. Don't believe in myself. Don't believe in my car, even though it gets me from A to B. I don't believe in my dog, even though he eats dog food in my house. I'm not going to believe in anything. I'm just going to be a mean old atheist. Because you ever notice that atheists are really grumpy? Really, most of them are just really grumpy people. And really, most non-believers are grumpy people. Many people today born with the same virus that all of us have this morning, and that is this understanding that there's more, but if I admit what the more is, that could mean I'm in trouble. That could mean I'm in trouble. Thankfully, God created a cure a long time ago for our problem. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. 1 Peter 2:21 says, God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example. You must follow his steps. Jesus never sinned, nor did he deceive anyone. He didn't retaliate when he was insulted. He didn't threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. 1 Peter 4:8, most importantly of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers all sins. It's crazy, right after having many spiritual moments, all of us have spiritual moments in life, but sometimes even after, right after having a spiritual moment, how could we go out and have a thought, have a feeling, say something vulgarly to somebody else, get angry, hate? How could right after having a moment with God and being like I'm on the mountaintop, but then how can our hearts switch so quick? You know, I love part of the story where it says that as this man grabbed this guy by the throat, threw him in prison, what happened? Word got back to the big boss. Turned to your neighbor and said, you don't want word to get back to the big boss. Oh, man. Do we not understand that God sees our every move? This morning, we understand everything that we've ever done. God knows every single thought, every single feeling, every desire that he considers wrong to be sinful this morning. Every single fear, every rebellious act that we've ever committed. God sees everything. God is watching, just like as God was watching this story as Jesus painted this picture. And God and Jesus end this text, which is some super powerful words. He says, this is how your Father in heaven will treat those who do not forgive from the heart. You know, it's crazy to me when I read the Bible. There are many people, and I don't want to sound judgy at all, who they teach and preach a lot about the end times. It's great. The end times are coming. Maybe here. There's a lot of pastors and preachers who talk about spiritual gifts because we all need them. We all have them. We all need them. We should use them, right? There's people who spend a lot of time on financial prosperity, which, believe me, thank you, Jesus. So I believe it. Woo! And we receive it, right? There's many who have deliverance ministries, and all they do is talk about deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. There's people who have healing ministries, and all they do is just pray for people constantly to be healed. And some do, and some don't. It doesn't matter, but they're trying. There's people who spend their life talking about the Holy Spirit. But there's a couple things in the Bible people don't talk about too much. And one of them is this verse right here about forgiveness. Because forgiveness, Jesus made it very clear, if you harbor one person in your life that you have not forgiven, he says, I'm not going to forgive you. Ouch! We could spend our whole life thinking that we're going to heaven. We could spend our whole life listening to teaching and preaching and going to church every single week, giving money in the offering bucket, but then have hate in our heart towards one person and unforgiveness. And Jesus says clearly in his word, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. Mark 11:25, when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your heavenly Father will forgive your sins too. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Matthew 7:21, one of the craziest verses to me. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We even cast out demons in your name. We performed miracles in your name. And Jesus is going to reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Ouch. Jesus clearly stating, there are people who feel that they're believers because they're casting out demons. People are getting healed. He says, they're not going to make it. And then you have people who don't want to make it because they're enjoying living a life of sin. They want to murder people physically and emotionally and mentally, and they want to get away with it. There are people who want to do bad things to themselves and others every single day, and they don't want to be accountable for their actions. There's so many evil, dark things in our world today. And at the end of the day, tragically, as Jesus painted this picture, still when we die, there's going to only be two places to go, heaven or hell. And there's going to be many who think they're going to the right place, but unfortunately, they're going to the left place, and that's hell. Ouch! I don't know what it is, but I love Jesus' words. Jesus' words are crazy. So crazy. Do you know that being a person who has unforgiveness in the heart, it has these kind of effects in our life? The very health and well-being inside of us. Mentally, in our relationships, our own personal growth. Because how many of us know, personal growth, it's top of the list, tip top. Spiritual life, our self-image, and our thought life. Unforgiveness causes us to live in a prison where we punish ourselves. Forgiveness, on the other hand, pushes away bitterness, anger, hate, and replaces it with love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, self-control, all those things. No matter what God has done, no matter what God's going to do, no matter how many times God has forgiven us of our wrongful actions, some of us in here sometimes still have a hard time learning to forgive. Man. There's people who still think I can act and do, treat other people however I want without any consequence. That verse that blows me away in Matthew where Jesus talks about, he says, listen, many are going to come to me and say, I prophesied in your name. I healed in your name, delivered in your name. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. We look at things that Jesus did while he was here. What are some simple things? man, he showed a lot of love. Jesus showed a lot of love. And then Jesus displayed a forgiveness that no one had ever felt before. Jesus displayed a freedom in that forgiveness that no one had ever felt before. How many times did he tell people, your sins are forgiven? Wow. Man, I just committed sin 30 seconds ago. You're going to forgive me? Man, you don't know who I am, Jesus. You don't know what I've done. Jesus looking them in the eye and saying, your sins are completely washed away, forgiven. Many people today don't understand sometimes what the weight of sin does. You know, as unforgiveness has effect on these lovely bodies and our emotional and our mental and our self-image, all of these things through relationships, sin, what we don't understand, the choice of sin above following after God, what it does to these bodies. It is horrific and it's sad. So many people on our planet who are ignoring the principles of God and what he's laid out, which absolutely destroys us. Unforgiveness is a killer to people. And I wonder this morning, as we're thinking about unforgiveness, do any of us have a problem with being a forgiving person? You know, crazy, yesterday, me and my wife were bailing out my customers up the hill who needed some food, so we're dropping off 51 cases. And as I'm unloading 39 cases, well, 41 to be exact, 41 cases into one of my customers, as I'm walking out, I see my wife and her truck, and it's moving backwards, and then it moved forward because somebody, not being careful, in a parking lot, smashed into my wife and her truck. You know, in that moment, there's a couple things we can do. We start to feel the blood boil. Start getting a little angry. What is this person doing? You know, as me and my wife are talking about what we're going to do, just tell them to give us $1,000, we'll call it even, right? My wife says, nah, just tell them it's forgiven. That's a hard thing to do in a moment, because our first thought usually isn't to forgive. Our first thought usually is not to forgive. Let's be honest. If someone hurts you, stabs you in the back, if somebody's talking about you, if someone betrays you, your first thought is not to forgive. Our first thought is not to forgive. It's what am I going to get out of this situation? And so all of these things to paint a picture to understand the devil, Satan, the angel of light, the roaring lion that he's painted, the thief, the father of lies, has planted a virus into the hearts of humanity. Because he knows if he can do this one thing, if he can keep humanity to be unforgiving, who's going to make it to heaven if no one wants to forgive? If we take Jesus' words in the Bible and we say, this is it. If the devil knows, man, one of the most powerful viruses I have, you're not going to be kind and loving and graceful. You're going to be unforgiving. Why? Because at the end of the day, if you can't forgive, you're not going to go to heaven, because God will not forgive you of the sins that you committed. And so this morning, as we know that with our computer systems, there's antivirus software. There's things and programs you can download on your phones, your computers, to be safe so that you can't be hacked. There's so many things that we can do to protect ourselves so that digitally all of our information is safe. But spiritually this morning, what have you done to prepare yourself? What have you done to take precautionary actions to protect yourself and your family against the spiritual virus that is killing and destroying so many lives? Isaiah 53:2 says, my servant, speaking of Jesus, grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot. He was a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful, majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. Jesus was despised. He was rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Verse 4. Yet it was our weaknesses that Jesus carried. It was the sorrows that weighed him down. We thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, because he wasn't rebellious at all. He was crushed for our sins, and he wasn't crushed for his, because he had none. He was beaten so that we could be whole. Jesus was whipped so that we could be healed. If we just take these verses in one more time, Jesus describing, there was nothing beautiful, majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract anyone to us. Jesus despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. But look what he did for every one of us, carrying all of our weaknesses, willing to take our sorrows upon him and carry every one of them. Being pierced for the rebellion of humanity, being crushed for humanity's sins, being beaten so that these bodies could be made spiritually whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. This morning, there's only one antivirus that we can download every single day to keep ourselves safe. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. It's as Jesus said. It's not in what we do and act, because all of us, come on, let's be honest, we are good actors. Some are really good actors. Others are just, you're good, but People know how to put on a show. People know how to act. We can act like the world is perfect and beautiful, but yet inside there's a lot of turmoil and a lot of things going on. We can put on an act like, man, we're loving God, we're worshiping, we got hands up, we're singing this, that, and the other. But yet, while what's going on the inside, there's things that are crumbling, like buildings that are coming down. There's one virus, antivirus, that must be downloaded into the system. But as you download it, to understand, as I accept this download, I'm making the decision to follow after the one who created that. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and he sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. She knelt before him at his feet weeping. Tears fell upon his feet. She wiped them off with her hair. She kept kissing his feet and putting the perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Verse 40. Jesus answered his thoughts. It's always nice when God answers your thoughts before you even speak them. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. He told him a story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces to the other. But neither could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one from whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I enter your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she's washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. And I tell you, her sins, though they are many, she's been forgiven. She's shown me much love. But a person who's forgiven little only shows a little love. Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man who goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. To take this story here, to understand the context, every person, as a man, when you walked into a home, you're greeted with a brotherly kiss. Your feet are washed off because you walked on dirt roads and you were considered unclean if your feet were dirty. Put a little olive oil anointing on your head as you're embraced and you're welcomed into a home. But it says Simon the Pharisee, he did not offer any of these things to this man, Jesus. As Jesus walked into a home, maybe he didn't want to recognize who Jesus was. Maybe he didn't understand fully who he was. Maybe he had a lot of questions and doubt about Jesus. And so he didn't offer water for his feet. He didn't offer a little olive oil. And he didn't greet him with a kiss on the cheek. Maybe he could not see Jesus because maybe there were so many things in his own life he could see, and it kept him and it blinded him from seeing the real person in Jesus Christ. There were three things that he ignored to do and offered as a polite, hospitable person, as I welcome you into my house, that he failed to do. Why? Because there was something inside of him, a virus that was downloaded that caused him to judge Jesus instead of love Jesus. He judged him. As soon as he's thinking, who is this man? It says Jesus answered his thoughts. There's a dangerous virus that's been downloaded in many of us. Let's be honest this morning. See, many times for some reason, if I make a mistake in my mind, it's just a teeny tiny little mistake. If I blurt out the wrong kind of word and get angry with somebody, I expect instant forgiveness. But let's be honest, when somebody else commits the same mistake, why is it bigger in our head when other people do the same things that we've done? For some reason in humanity, we commit the wrong choice. We do bad things. When we're driving down the highway at 100 miles an hour, having a good time. Yes. Cop pulls us over. Please forgive me. I know not what I do, cop. That's a nice outfit, by the way. You look good in blue. Forgiven. And the next thing you know, somebody flying by. Hey, go bust that guy. He's speeding. So this last text that I read to share and to speak this morning, Jesus paints this picture. You see, humanity has a problem. When we commit a wrongdoing, in our heads, it's really nothing at all. But when someone else does the same thing, we want to crucify. Jesus said, you have to understand the depth that you've been forgiven so that you can forgive others as well. Unfortunately, one day Jesus said, I'm going to have to turn many away because they forgot to follow me. A lot of good people aren't going to make it to heaven. A lot of souls in this place aren't going to make it, no matter how good they are. You know, years ago, we've been taught and trained, you know, you do the sinner's prayer. God, forgive me. Come to my heart. I believe in the cross. Forgive me my sins. Come and live with me. And for many, many years, people have been teaching, this is how you get saved. And so many people have fell for years and years and years. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I said the prayer. I'm good. I punched the card. Everything's fine. But yet they continue to treat people horribly. There's people who go to church every Sunday, but as soon as they leave church, they treat someone horribly, mean, disrespectful, rude. Saying a prayer hasn't saved many people. Fortunately, going to church still hasn't saved many people either as well. Jesus said, if you want to be saved, you have to follow after me. My title this morning, which sounds a little weird, it's F you. And see, the thing is, the most powerful thing that you can do in life is say, I forgive you. The most powerful thing you can do and say and be in this life is, I forgive you. Love and forgiveness are tied together. They're tied. Love covers a multitude of sins. God's willing to cover yours. God's willing to cover you. And if we take the two stories today, one who was forgiven 500, the other one who was forgiven 50, the man who was forgiven of millions of dollars, but the man who was imprisoned for a few thousand, what shoe fits us the most this morning? What story, what person, part of the story, fits us the best? Do we have a large debt? Do we know, man, I am screwed up? But thank God he forgives me. Or this morning, are we like the guy who is forgiven little and think, man, I'm good as they get. I'm as good as they get. I am squeaky, shiny, clean. I use the chemical guys to wash my car. It's nice and shiny. The outside of me looks so nice and neat. As Jesus described, the Pharisee says, yeah, you might look good on the outside, but you're full of dead man bones on the inside. How much of humanity has downloaded a deadly virus? And no matter how many good things we try to do, Jesus said, if you can't do this one thing, and that's treat people with a decency of forgiveness, I forgive you, so go and forgive as well. Go forgive as well. If God forgives me, I need to forgive you. If God forgives you, you need to forgive just as much as I do. And if we don't forgive, that's the sign. If we can't forgive, that's the sign that we didn't really fully believe and commit to God's word.